welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diaz, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Today, I'm speaking with J. Elizabeth Vincent. Hi, Janelle.
Hey, Madeline.
Thanks for coming on the show. Just a little introduction about Janelle. So she's a freelance editor and writer, both speculative fiction and non-fiction, under the name Janelle Robish, including a book on breastfeeding. As J. Elizabeth Vincent, she's published short stories, and her debut fantasy novel, Raven Thrall, is available now for pre-order on Amazon. Thanks for coming on the show, Janelle.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great. All right. So how I like to start off is a few kind of quick questions, some warm-ups, some jumping jacks, some, you know, skipping rope, just get you warmed up and limbered up.
Sounds good.
So you write short stories and a bit of nonfiction and a novel. So what's your favorite medium?
I probably spend the most of my time on long form. I don't know if it's my favorite or if I have, you know, one for, you know, it's, I guess just novels take so much longer to write. So you end up spending a lot of time. But I really like short stories, and especially flash fiction, as exercises in really like distilling the craft down to its most basic form, which is the story. And often when I do that, like the speculative part falls away and everything else, because you're just trying to get like one decision or something. But I like both. So. But the long form allows my long-winded side to get, you know, to have free reign there. So, but I like both, so I'm not sure I could pick a favorite.
Cool. All right, so are you a plotter or a pantser?
I'm definitely a hybrid. I started out as a pantser, for sure, and that was, like, you know, from the beginning, from the time I was 14 or something until, I guess, I had kids, and then I kind of, that's when I started writing more nonfiction. But nowadays, I definitely, when I couldn't get to the end of my novel, the first one I really like put my, got committed to, I guess, is that's when I started. I said, the next one, I have to have some kind of outline. And the first one, all I had was the hero's journey. That was my outline. And then as I go on, I've done more and more. But I get to the point when I'm outlining where I just start itching to write. And I just can't outline anymore. So, and then, of course, when I start writing, my characters kind of take their own lead. And sometimes I have to refigure things. But I guess every writer probably does.
Mm-hmm. The hero's journey, that's, you know, a good starting point.
Yeah, it is. It's a great, it's kind of got everything there. And if you have a character in mind, then it really can flow together well. And actually, that's what I did for Nano last year. And I decided on, like, October 31st that I was going to do Nano. And so I hadn't done any preparation, and that's when I picked the hero's journey for the idea I had. And it got me through. And that ended up turning into Raven Thrall. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
So when you say Nano, you mean NaNoWriMo?
Of course. Yeah, National Novel Writing Month. So, yeah.
Just in case there's some writers out there who aren't aware of NaNoWriMo.
Right.
I've come across them before. There are some people who are not aware.
Yeah. I don't think I knew much about it until last year. I think I heard about it and thought, that's crazy. Pretty much that's what I thought. Like, how can you do that? But then, you know, once you give it a shot, you realize it's not that crazy.
Cool. And with all your writing, what is your writing fuel of choice?
Probably Diet Coke or any kind of caffeinated diet soda, but up until about 3 o'clock, then I have to cut it off or I won't sleep. So,
good. Great. Okay, so we've got to know you a little bit more now.
Right.
So we know to send Diet Coke. so how do you describe your writing, and are there any themes that you like to explore?
Well, I definitely have a preference for speculative fiction, like we mentioned, and I think that just starts from my inspirations came from authors who it's speculative fiction. It's also more escapist, and I love to read for entertainment primarily, and so that's how I try to write. And you know, that's like fantasy is the highest form of escapism as far as I'm concerned. I found there's a lot of stories that focus on kind of pushing past your circumstances and rising above, you know, being like the best you can be, I guess, or just, you know, not allowing your circumstances to dictate who you are. And also just the love of not romantic love necessarily, but love of friends and family and people who become your family, you know, through circumstance. So, and Raven Thrall definitely has some themes of freedom too, I found. So, you know, I don't think about these as I write, but they keep coming out. It's like, yeah. Because I was always the one in English class going, I don't think these writers really were thinking all these things you people say they are, you know, the symbolism and everything. But I think some writers do, and other, it just comes out, you know, it's just naturally. I see some themes, you know, modern political themes and stuff in my writing, even though I'm not very political myself. And I think it's just, you know, all the stuff you have around you is going into your head as you're writing, and then it comes out in different ways. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves as time goes by. So.
Great. Okay, so the key question I like to ask is...
Okay.
Yeah, get ready.
I'm ready.
What is the one thing that's been most helpful in improving your writing to date?
Okay. I had to think about this one hard because I've been listening to your back episodes and it's like, oh, they already did that one. but yeah, I was like, no, too late.
No, it's all personal. Yeah.
No, but so I really thought about it. And although it does touch on some of the other ones, that the biggest thing that made a difference in my writing, because I've been writing for 30 odd years now. So, but it was making writing a priority in my life. And that was the biggest thing. It was when I said that this was, you know, there's all these things and hobbies and things you do. And that's what writing was for a long time. I've always thought of myself as a writer, but you have to actually make it a priority for it to get anywhere. And that's so, and it has a lot of different elements, but that's what I did is, you know, I decided that, you know, there's only so many priorities you can honestly have in your life, like your family, you know, your home, taking care of yourself. And so alongside those things, I put writing right up there. So, yeah.
So you mentioned there are a couple of elements to it.
Yeah. Well, I think the first one you probably know, which was the, and maybe I can't even think in chronological order because all this stuff kind of started happening at once. Mm-hmm. But one was the monthly writing challenge, because that was like, okay, you can write 500 words a day or edit for an hour every day. And I did that for like a year and a half with like one or two misses. And it really like, it gets you into this habit and it starts. It was like, nowadays I look at posts on like writer's block and stuff. It's like, no, there's no writer's block. You just sit down and write whatever it is. And if you can't come up with something to write for your story, write something else or journal or something and just get in the habit of writing. And when you do, it's like any other job. Sometimes you do it well. Sometimes you do it kind of not so well, but you just keep doing it. Also, I became more involved. At first, I started attending a writer's group, and then now I facilitate one. So, you know, that happens every month, or actually twice a month if you include critique. And I also started editing more fiction, because before my editing was primarily academic with occasional fiction book, and now it's about half and half. And that actually has helped me a ton. Like, helping other people with their own writing through, like, the critique group and through my editing helps me learn so much. So those are some of the things, you know, how I implemented writing, making writing a bigger part of my life. So, and instead of writing, now I think I'm going to answer one of your other questions was, do I write every day? Or, you know, I think that was like, and nowadays I don't write every day, but my goal is to do something usually for at least an hour. It often stretches into many more, but something to further my writing goals, if that makes sense. So like yesterday I was working on my map for my fantasy novel, because it's almost done with copy editing, so I want to have it all ready to go and to put the final on Amazon. So if that makes sense. I'm not writing every day, because once you get into the nits and nitty gritty and the business part of it, there are some days where other things need to come first. So
yeah.
Anyway.
So tell me a little bit more about how editing other people's work has helped you in your writing.
I guess it's, first of all, when I do a developmental edit, which is a story edit, I make a habit of not just telling the author, this doesn't work. I try to get into the meat of it, find out why it doesn't work or why I think it doesn't work, and give them so I'll go and read a lot of things or find where I learned that thing from and give them the resource, whether it's a video or a blog post or a book, so that when they take my advice, they can go and see what other people have to say and then apply it the way they feel is best for their project. And then sometimes you see something that somebody else is doing and you realize you do it too, and you realize it just doesn't work very well or how it affects people. Like people love to switch point of view back and forth and all over the place. And a lot of times when they first start writing, they don't pick one. Mm. And as a result, when you read it, it feels really scattered. Mm. And so that's something. And so I learned, because I'm seeing what it looks like in other people's work, and that I know not to do it in mine or pay attention to it. Mm. But it can make editing fiction, though, can make reading a whole nother experience, because nowadays I can't read a book without seeing all the I wonder if I would do it differently, or I'd tell that author to do this. But sometimes I just have to push it all away so I can enjoy the book. So
I know exactly what you mean. I was reading some famous writer that I won't name because I'd love to have him on the podcast. And I was I was neck deep in edits, and I was reading a sentence, and I was going, I would have written it this, like changing the sentence around. I'm like, oh no, stop! Just enjoy the book.
Yeah, I figure if I can get past that, then it's a really good book. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If I can get past all that and just get into the story and just be carried along by the characters, then it's a good book. Mm.
But absolutely, that's what we all want, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
That would naturally read on to what writers inspire you. But before I ask that question, I was just wondering if you were trying anything new with Raven Thrall, or if you're trying anything new, any new techniques at the moment.
Not really new techniques. I'm working on the way I wrote Raven Thrall was actually, I wrote a short story first, which was ended up being the prologue, and it was a sort of a way to try it. And so I'm writing more short stories to go with Raven Thrall. So fit in the spaces between, or to tell some backstory that I didn't get into too very deeply in the novel. So, but yeah, I think a lot of my focus right now is on getting the book out and launching it. So there's been a lot of new things that I'm trying, but they're all to do with marketing or promotion or something. I just signed up for a Udemy class on copywriting just to get, because fiction writing and copywriting are two totally different things.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to get a little better at that. Yeah.
Well, that's great too. So that's learning a completely different type of writing to promote your work.
Right. I'm trying.
So going back to reading.
Okay.
What writers inspire you and why?
I guess the first one I always think of is the person who inspired me to become a writer in the first place, and that was Stephen R. Donaldson, who is an epic fantasy writer. I don't know if you've heard of him lot. He's kind of niche, I think, but he was definitely a student of Tolkien, but much darker, I think. But and I don't even like all of his books, but the ones I like, I really like. They really inspired me a lot, and so he's kind of one of the classics. His books, his first two trilogies came out in the 70s, I think. And I picked the first one up when I was 14. And it was my brother's book, and he told me I was too young for it. It was kind of funny, but I was determined to prove it. But nowadays, I read a lot of urban fantasy, too. Jim Butcher is one of my absolute favorites. He writes fantasy as well, but his Dresden Files are just, they're just phenomenal because the character is so well done, and there's a lot of humor and adventure in the book. And like I said, I write and I read primarily for entertainment, and his is definitely a lot of entertainment. And he's a lot of fun to listen to, too. So if you ever get him on the podcast, that would be awesome.
If you can set that up, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I got him right on my speed dial. So, but yeah, another couple of favorites, especially for strong female characters, are Shannon McGuire and Patricia Briggs. They both do some really great urban fantasy series. And again, the humor is always there. I love that. You know, and then just really real characters that you feel like you can meet on the street and kind of go have a drink with, you know, and have a lot of fun with. So,
Great. So let's talk about Raventhrall. So you just spoke about how you were trying something different because it started as a NaNoWriMo, and then you've got short stories around it. But what inspired Raventhrall?
That is so funny because, like I said, I was trying quickly to come up with a new idea. And the reason I did it was I had just finished, like, this novel that I started, like, 20 years ago. And I finally, like I said, I started to make more of a commitment. And I finally finished the first draft of that book in late October of last year. And I really needed to put it aside and not go crazy trying to jump in and edit it right away because you just don't have enough distance to have any kind of perspective. And so I'm laying in bed at night trying to think of something. And the actual honest inspiration for the book was Jessica Jones with wings. And, you know, it was really simple. I start with something, but the thing is that within just kind of writing down the basic elements of the short story, Mariah, who is the main character, became something completely different. She is not snarky at all. She is kind of the more quiet and reserved hero. You know, she's like, she has, now there are other characters in the book that are definitely more ebullient and kind of like, they're the ones you laugh at, you know, but she became just this kind of quiet hero, you know, who is really strong, you know, but still has her weaknesses. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it got, but it was just, she is, I'm trying to like give a little teaser without giving away too much, but she does have wings. So, but yeah, she kind of starts out as her parents are trying to protect her because bad things happen to people with the Seosan are the people in the book who can transform to an animal form. And it's all wrapped up in the religion of the land. Like, they're supposed to be chosen. But there's this king who's come along who's decided that they were chosen to serve him. And so this is all happening right as she's growing up. And so her parents are trying to protect her. And so she's never really even been out of the house. She kind of helps her father at the blacksmith. And whenever she does go out, she has a cloak on and has her wings wrapped so nobody can see them. And they already think she's a freak because she's got this hump on her back, you know, because they never see. And so it's her, but then in the short story is when everything starts to change, of course. And there's betrayal, and there's a big decision, like, what's more important, her own freedom or her family? And then it just all spirals from there. So like I said, Jessica Jones with wings, like, totally went off the rails.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So, I'll let you get back to your editing and your family and the other priorities, your writing, your learning to copywriting.
Right.
So, what are you working on right now?
I am working on one of the short stories, which is the short story. Shira is one of the side characters in the novel, and it's about how her family discovered that she was a Seosan, which is, I hope that's not a spoiler, it probably is. I'm like, oops. but her family, how they dealt with it, you know. So, and so it's like, takes place about 20 years before. And then I'm also working on the second book in this series, which is going to be called Revelation of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. And so I aimed it to be a 5-book series. So
Okay. Does that actually have does that have a name, a 5-book series?
Oh, I don't know. Pentology, I don't know. That would be my guess.
It doesn't quite roll off the tongue though, does it?
No. Well, I will say though that I wrote the first book, like, will it be a series? I don't know, maybe, you know, and it wasn't until I had that first one done that I actually started outlining the other books and decided it was 5. So
did you have to go back and do any changes to the first book because you've then plotted out a 5-book arc?
Just little things. Like, I decided there was this name I really liked for one of the big characters later on, and there was another name that was way too close for it, and she was a really minor character. So I did a quick search and replace, and she's somebody else now. So, but I was trying to be really careful, and so it was just little things, you know.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
You don't want to write yourself into a corner.
Yeah, definitely not. So.
All right. Well, I'll let you go. So where can people find you and your work?
All right. I am all over the place if you search J. Elizabeth Vincent, but I have a website, just jelizabethvincent.com, all one word. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter, I'm fiction_editor. And also, Raven Thrall will be up on it, like you said at the beginning, it's available on Amazon for pre-order. But if they'd like to read the prologue, it is now up on InstaFreebie for free. Mm-hmm. So they can get a taste of it and see if it's something they like.
Fantastic. All right. I'm just writing that down.
Okay. InstaFreebie.
So thank you so much, Janelle, for being on the show today. It's been really fun.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
In this week's interview, Janelle made a passing reference to the hero's journey, and I wanted to make sure that I elaborated on what she was talking about, because as the saying goes, if you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. So let's talk about the hero's journey, which I definitely use as part of my plotting, and in particular I use a book called The Writer's Journey by Christopher Vogler. The book has the subtitle The Mythic Structures for Storytellers and Screenwriters. Now, while Vogler's book analyzes film, it's equally applicable to fiction. In the book, Vogler takes the work of psychologist Carl Jung and mythic scholar Joseph Campbell of A Hero with a Thousand Faces fame and breaks down the structure of mythic storytelling while using examples such as Star Wars, The Wizard of Oz, E.T. and many more. Now, my copy is from the 1990s, so I'm sure the revised edition has some much more up-to-date examples. Vogler first goes through the story structure used in fairy tales, myths and stories throughout history. And once the structure is described, it seems oh so familiar. The writer's journey follows a 3-act structure, and I'll just now describe the different sections. The first act starts with the ordinary world, and then the main character gets their call to adventure. The main character then refuses the call, but has a meeting with the mentors, and then finally crosses the first threshold. The second act includes the tests, enemies and allies, the approach to the innermost cave, the ordeal, and the reward. Act 3 then continues with the road back, the resurrection, and the return with the elixir. Now, Vogler's book also examines the Jungian archetypes found in many stories, including the hero, the mentor, the threshold guardian, the shadow, the trickster, the herald, and the shapeshifter. And his book goes into considerable detail on each character type and each plot section with many recognisable examples. Now, this is one of many story analysis tools, and some people might argue it's a little too formulaic, but if it works for Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, I think it's something worth taking a look at. And next week I'll talk about a very similar structure, but from a female perspective, the heroine's journey. So I recommend you have a look at Christopher Vogler's book and have a look into the hero's journey. Thanks for listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week? Thank you.